Good evening. I just was praying about and wondering what I was going to talk about tonight. And I just thought maybe I'd share with you a little bit about how the Lord worked in my life, saved me, and a little bit about, for those of you who have been coming to the meetings, you kind of have an idea of me. Well, this guy is pretty hard, pretty demanding, expects a lot out of us. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit about my background. Maybe that'll help you understand that. Some of you here don't know me. My name is Mark Hartley. I live in Durham, North Carolina. I have 5 children, 3 girls. My oldest is 22, another daughter is 20, and another daughter is 18, soon to be 19. And then I have 2 sons, 1 17 and 1 15. We were missionaries in Peru for a couple of years, and then in Spain for 10 years. And we've been back in the States for the last 3 years, so my girls could attend college, and Lord willing, the Lord would direct them to the husband that they prepared them for, or he's prepared them for. So we've been back in the States 3 years now. I was raised in a family, Roman Catholic family. My father left when I was about 1.5 years old, abandoned the family. My mother had to work and taught us to work. By the time I was 5 years old, I helped my brother in a paper route. He had a paper route delivering papers from door in the town we lived, a little small town we lived in. And I was bigger than he was, you can tell. And so he wasn't able to carry all the papers, and so my mother said, well, you've got to help him. That was about 1964, 65. Tells you how old I am then. And when I did that paper, I had to carry about 100 papers a day and deliver them. And I got paid 25 cents a week. Well, that was a lot of money back in those days. I save up money, and 25 cents a week, that was a lot. We were poor and had to work hard. As I said, my mother raised me Roman Catholic. My brother is a Roman Catholic priest now. He decided when he was a young boy he wanted to be a priest, and that's what he is. But we were raised in the household where my mother really, really taught us that the Catholic Church was our hope and our way to get into heaven. That if we did what the Catholic Church told us, and we did more good than bad, that the Lord might let us into heaven. I went to Catholic school for the first 5 years. But I was a boy that, although I went to Mass every day, I was a wicked, terrible, angry young man. Fought all the time. Used to get in fights always with kids older and bigger than me. Just trying to prove how tough I was, trying to prove how mean I was. When I was in 5th grade, they kicked me out of Catholic school. They told me I couldn't come back anymore. Cursing the nuns, fighting all the time. By the time I was those last couple of months of school, they had a desk set up in the principal's office. They wouldn't even let me be around the other kids because they were afraid of me. My last day in school, I beat up every boy in my class. I thought it was tough. I thought it was mean. I thought that I could make people be afraid of me. But you know, the thing about being a bully is I was afraid of everybody. I was scared. And that's why I fought, because I wanted to prove to people that I was tough, but I really wasn't. I didn't feel like I had a friend in the world. I used to lay in bed at night and just cry, just think, I don't have anybody. Nobody cares about me. My older brother was the white sheep, and I was the black sheep of the family. Always in trouble. Trouble with teachers. 2nd grade. In school, we had a report card. I was always a good student. I always had high grades in school. Lord blessed me with intelligence. But there's on the back of the report card, there was the conduct marks. And for bad conduct, at the end of my 2nd grade year, I had every check mark you could possibly get for bad conduct. Talks in class, doesn't cooperate, does all these things. Just an angry young man, just a wicked young man, stealing, fighting. I was telling the other night that I used to steal from my grandmother. I was about 8, 9 years old. My grandmother would come and stay with us. My mother had to work. I would get into her coin purse and steal all her change out, sometimes $4, $5, $6. Wicked young man. Uncontrollable. My mother used to spank me. She used to beat me, come home from work. I get in trouble at school. Get spanked at school. They used to be able to do that, you know. Get spanked when I got home. I told him to the other night, 10 years old, my mother had a, I don't know if you know what a dowel rod is. It's a round piece of wood. It's about 3/4 inch diameter. And she beat me with that, broke it over my back. And I grabbed up an end of it, and I said, "Don't you ever hit me again. The next time you hit me, I'm going to hit you back." From that moment on, my mother never hit me. She was afraid of me. Several occasions, she threatened to call the sheriff and have me put into a reform school. Always in trouble, always through school. Different ones tried to help me, but I was wicked. You know, the thing about sin, nobody ever has to teach you how to sin, do they? Nobody taught me how to fight or cuss. I used to curse everybody. I used to curse my mom. I used to, every other word that came out of my mouth was a curse word. I wasn't afraid of anybody on the outside, but afraid of everybody on the inside. When I was a freshman in high school, about 14, 15 years old, I must have been about 14, my math teacher was a believer. And I can remember the first time I ever heard the gospel. He took me across the street from the school where we were. There's a little Baptist church building there. It was on a Friday. I remember that because in Fridays they always had fish. You know, Catholics, we couldn't eat meat on Fridays, and so even the public schools have fish on Fridays for us. And he ate a fish sandwich, I remember that. Took me down to the basement of that Baptist church building, and he opened up his Bible and started sharing with me the gospel. I remember I was so shocked, because I opened up his Bible, and his Bible looked, well, even more than mine. It had all these, writ stuff written in it like that, and colors and everything, and I thought, my goodness, look at what this man's done to the Bible. He's marked it all up. What a sacrilegious act. Look what he's done to the Word of God. Because we were taught, although we never read the Bible, we were taught you reverence the Bible. You don't tear it up or do anything wrong to it, because that's the Bible. We had a Bible in our house. I tell people the only Bible we had in our home, it was in my mother's underwear drawer. Now, when I was a kid, you could get anywhere in the house. You could go in any drawer. You could look in any cabinet. But you didn't get in your mama's underwear drawer. So I never saw the Bible. In fact, after I got saved, I asked my mom, "Why do you have the Bible?" She said, "Well, just in case the priest comes by and needs it." And I thought to myself, he never needs it in Mass. Why would he need it here? Well, we had reverence for God, for the Bible. I believed then just about everything I believe now. In other words, I believe Jesus came to this world, that he died on the cross after living a perfect life, that he was in the grave for 3 days, that he rose again on Easter Sunday, that he lived another 40 days on the earth, that he ascended up into heaven, that he's coming again. I believed all that before I ever was saved. You can believe all that and still go to hell. Most people in hell will have known and heard the truth sometime or another and believed it. What was the difference? Well, when this guy shared with me the gospel the first time, I remember thinking, "Well, that's all well and good for you. You know, you're a Protestant, you know? I'm Catholic, and you got your way to get to heaven, I got my way to get to heaven. If I kind of keep my nose clean and do a little bit more good than bad, eventually after being in purgatory for a while, I'll get to heaven." That's what I believed. At least that's what I said. Well, I was 18 years old. I'd heard the gospel several times over the next 4 years in high school, different ones. But just kept on living a wicked life, drinking, running around, chasing girls into pornography, stealing, going in the stores stealing. I was telling them the other night, we used to walk into restaurants, get something to eat, and dash. Got caught by the police one time, got out of it. Trouble at school all the time. I got kicked out of my last class in high school for fighting. Fought all the time. Wicked. My mother feared me. My family feared me. My mom thought I was going to kill somebody. I didn't think I was going to live to be 25. The only thing I never did in my life was drugs. You know why I didn't do drugs? Because I was afraid of them. Because I got drunk and you could get drunk and that was one thing, well, okay, you know, but boy, I knew guys that took drugs one time and they took just one pill too many and that was it. And I was afraid of dying. Well, I was dating this girl and I was 18 years old, she was 16, and we were out one time, I had a four-wheel drive Dodge pickup truck. There was a hill in my town that if you took it real fast, you'd do like the Dukes of Hazzard. Y'all seen that Dukes of Hazzard thing? Well, that was on TV when I was that age. You fly up in the air, and man, that really feels great. You know, you fly up in the air like, and woo, you know, your stomach kind of goes up into your head, and you're just, you know, it's just kind of a neat feeling. So we were getting ready to go out to a play at the high school, and I said, well, let's go through town and go over that hill one time on our way. So we did. Well, when we went over that hill, I was going about, I don't know, 60 miles an hour, something like that. We flew up over that hill, went up in the air, and there was a van sitting at the top of that hill on the other side. I hit that van. Knocked it 70 feet into a wall. Hit another car. My four-wheel drive pickup truck was just smashed up. The whole front end smashed up. The trunk, the bed all smashed up. Transverse case fell out. Just totally destroyed that truck. We got out of there with a few scrapes and bruises. The girl's parents wouldn't let her go out with me anymore. But when I got home after that, I said to myself, if I would have died in that car wreck tonight, where would I be right now? And I had to be honest, I'd be in hell right now. You know, one of the problems with being young like you guys is you think, well, I'm going to live forever. I mean, I'm young. I'm not going to die anytime soon, you know? I mean, dying, that's for old people. I'm in good health. After I got saved, I had a friend, 17 years old. No, I'm sorry, 19 years old. 19, he's my age. 19 years old. Good health. Nice guy, wasn't overweight or anything, played sports all the time. He was playing basketball one day. Said to the other guys who were playing, man, I feel a little bit tired, you know, I think I'm going to take a break. Y'all keep on playing. Started to walk off the court, fell down dead. Fell down dead. You don't know that you're going to live. You think you are. You hope you are, sure, but nobody knows how long we're going to live. And I was afraid of dying. A friend of mine that had trusted the Lord through that testimony, that same math teacher, he came to me and shared the gospel with me again. He bought me my first Bible. And I said, listen, I'm so tired of what men say. You know, the priestess tells me this, you all tell me that. I don't want to know what man says. I want to know what God says. He said, Mark, let me give you this piece of advice. Whatever it says in this book, you believe. Take it literally for what it says. If anybody ever says anything to you, you look in here. If it's in here, you hold on to it. If it's not, you get rid of it. Don't believe it. I started reading the New Testament for the first time in my life. When I came to verses like John 3:16, I'd heard the story of Nicodemus over and over again in Mass, but I never heard John 3:16. I had never heard Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5. I had never heard Ephesians chapter 2 and Titus chapter 3 verse 5. I'd never heard those things before. And I would go back to the priest and say, look, this is what the Bible says. What do you say? And he said, well, that's all outdated. You know, we've got new revelation and you can't understand that anyway. You haven't been to seminary. I said, wait a minute. You told me this is God's word. God wants to talk to me. And over about a 6-month period, I read the New Testament through a couple of times. And during that time, I'd ask the Lord to save me. Well, I didn't have anybody. I didn't know what it was. And I'd say, Lord, I want you to save me. I realize I'm lost and I want to be saved through the work of Jesus Christ. And I had in my mind, because I'd been taught, you know, when you become a saint, which is what I saw that you were when you got saved, you're now a saint. Once you're a saint, you don't sin anymore. That's what I thought. So the next day I'd get up and I'd sin over again. And I'd think, well, I must be lost still. I'm still sinning. So I prayed over and over and over again for the Lord to save me. So finally I got into contact with some Christians and they shared with me, they said, Mark, it's not what you do, it's what you believe. Do you believe that you're lost and that Jesus Christ alone could save you? I said, absolutely, that's what I believe. They said, well, here's some verses, and they gave me some assurance verses. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but he's passed from death to life. 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written that you might know that you have eternal life. The Lord saved me, 1978. But you know what? I decided when he saved me, I said, you know, all the wicked things I've done in my life, all the terrible things I've done, God could have saved my brother. He was a good boy. He always got good grades and always got good marks in school as being a well-behaved. And here I am, the worst kid in the family, the worst one of the bunch. And when I went back to that math teacher and shared with him I was saved, he couldn't believe it. Well, he could, but he was amazed. Some of my old teachers in high school, when they found out that I was saved, they were shocked. They could have said, anybody in the school is going to get saved but this guy. But you know, the Lord takes the weak, the sinful things of this world to show that He can save the worst. I've said my whole life, if Paul was the worst sinner that ever lived, I was the second worst. God saved me. Because He saved me from that, I feel such a great debt to Him. I feel such a great need to give Him thanks and to thank Him for all that He's done for me. Because I sure don't deserve to go to heaven. And I think all the time, when the Lord saved me, He sure didn't get much. Well, after I got saved, the one thing I wanted to do is go down to Peru and share the gospel. Our diocese, the Catholic churches in our area, had supported the work in Peru, and I wanted to go down there and preach the gospel to those people. I met my wife at the University of Missouri. About a year after she got done with school, we got married, moved to South Carolina, got involved in an assembly there. In 1987, we went to Peru for the first time. And I thank the Lord for using me. And I guess, for me to look at you young people, I think, if I could have known when I was your all's age, you know, some of you guys, 10, 12 years old, 9 years old, I don't know how some of you are. If I could have known then what I knew when I was 19 and got saved, wow. You've got your whole life ahead of you. And I know, you know, the main thing for you guys right now is get a girlfriend, get a boyfriend, get a good job, have things, have a nice house, have a nice life. But you know what? Those things really aren't the important things. You know, the Lord says He's going to give us all our needs if we'll just look for Him first. But what are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, what can I do, Mark? I'm only 12 years old. What can I do for the Lord? There's a lot you can do for the Lord. My question for you tonight is, first of all, have you really believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you just playing the game? Are you just going through the motions? Have you just prayed a prayer or been baptized because that's what people expect of you? Are you just going to Sunday school? Are you just coming here tonight because your parents expect you to? Or have you really, truly understood how lost you are? And how much you need a Savior? And how without Him, you'll never have a hope of eternal life? And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've been born again, what are you doing for Him? How are you living your life? Are you living it like everybody else? Or has He really had an impact on you? Are you really getting serious about Him? I know young guys 12, 13 years old that at the breaking of bread stand up and share the Word of God. Young guys memorizing the Bible. Are you reading the Word of God every day? Do you spend time praying to the Lord? It doesn't matter the amount of time. It matters whether you do it or not. Read one chapter a day. Spend 5 minutes lifting up thanks to Him and asking Him to guide you in that day and to protect you from sin and from harm. He'll do it. Are you standing up for Jesus Christ at school? Do the other kids where you go to school, do they know that you're a believer? That you want to live for Him? Or do they see you just like everybody else? Do you want to be accepted by the crowd? Is that your most important thing in life? I'll tell you, that's what I wanted. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't do any good. All those friends I had back in grade school and high school, I don't have them anymore. But you know what? I've got more friends now than I've ever had in my life. I know more people. I could travel across America and never spend a night in a hotel. Never have to eat a meal in a restaurant if I didn't want to. I got friends and family. I've lost my parents. They don't want anything to do with me. My brother and sisters, they don't want anything to do with me. They hate me. They talk bad about me behind my back and to my face. But the Lord promised me, He gave me mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters, so many, I can't even count them all. And He also gave me eternal life. You know, when I was in the world, I had stuff. I had a lot of things. But you know what? Now I've got everything that my heart desires. There's nothing that I don't have that I want to have. Of course, my wants line up with what the Lord wants for me. But if you delight yourself in Him, He says He'll give you the desire of your heart. It's worth it. Don't waste your life, guys. Don't waste your life, girls. Start right now living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him as Savior, don't wait. Quit playing the game. I know some of you are. Some of you sitting right here are playing the game. You're playing it. Don't play the game anymore. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you. He'll make life worth it. He really will. You'll never regret it.